listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering you're listening to right now. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. You might know me for Am I the Bullest column over on EDH Rec. You might know me for my stand-up comedy, but you definitely most certainly know me for this podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you very much. Joining me today, again, is not Morgan Sanchez, our beloved co-host, co-producer, genius, and editor of EDHREC.com, but also our other co-host who is back in the mix on these mailbags. You know him as Games Freak SA, but around these parts, he's Michael Solani. Hi, Michael.
Mailbag world champion right here.
Oh, you got a belt made and everything.
Oh, yeah. I got a gold medal in being in the mailbag.
Hell yeah.
Right next to other spectacular mailbag people like the postman from Majora's Mask.
Ooh.
And Newman.
Ah.
I can't name a third fictional post person.
Isn't the guy from King of Queens a post guy?
I've never seen King of Queens.
Well, there you have it. We're done for the day. Anyway, Michael, we're back at it. Another mailbag is happening. Before we get into anything, we're just going to talk real quick about our sponsors, Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. We've got a referral link in the description of the episode. And, you know, you can sign up, put up some cards that you want to sell, and some people will be snagging them from you. And that becomes money in your Cardsphere account, which you can use to find those hard-to-find cards to finish out a collection or flesh out a commander deck. Anything you need, you can find on Cardsphere.com. Make sure to use the referral link to sign up. Michael, you look like you want to say something.
You keep the money in the account. You spend it. It's easy. No banks involved. You put the money there.
You hit
and
that.
And you use it. You use the money to buy the cards, Mike. You use the money, and then the cards are purchased with the money.
You know what? You hit that
you
with the
You use the cards, Mike.
Okay.
Okay,
all right.
All right, go ahead.
You hit that with the same kind of, like, vibe as if you were in, like, an ICDC college commercial. You know what I mean? Like, Jerry
should
Springer's
on. Should I be insulted,
on?
Or?
Yes, you should be.
No!
It was not. Those commercials were always bad. But, I mean, it brought me back. What nostalgia. Thrilled to be sponsored by Cardsphere.com. Make sure to sign up with a referral code and get the cards you need. Either way, we have another sponsor in BoneBoxGames.com. Use promo code BOLCAST for a little discount on your deck boxes. Treat your deck to something nice. Give them a beautiful home that feels good to use. I mean, look, I've got four of them.
They're gorgeous. I love
them. They really are. It's easy to pack. Everybody looks at them when you pull out your deck. They're like, ooh, where'd you get this deck box? And you get to be like, BoneBoxGames.com. Use promo code BOLCAST for some discount, baby. I'm thrilled every time. Lots of love to them. They make a great product. Folks, it's time to get into the mailbag again. Before we do, we're going to reverse things up.
Let's get that bag.
We're going to mix it up. We're going to plug ourselves first. Indigo Gentleman, at Indigo Gentleman on Instagram, and Blue Sky, Morgan Sanchez. That's where you can find her. You can find Michael Solani. Where can people find you?
My website, gamesfreaksa.info. Those are the letters, not the word.
Mm-hmm. And that is also, you should check out YouTube, Games Freak SA on YouTube for those new videos he's been doing. They're very f-ing good. Sorry, Ken. You can also find Michael's articles on EDHREC.com. You can find mine on EDHREC.com. Am I the Bullest column has been there for some time now. And you can follow me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, all the stuff. I've got a link tree. You can find my stand-up comedy on YouTube or on your streaming platforms for my album. You can find me anywhere you need. And, of course, on this podcast that you're listening to right now. You can follow us at Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky. Is there a Patreon? Maybe some soon. We're working on stuff. And then also you can send us emails at amithebullest@gmail.com. And make sure that if you listen to the podcast and you're sending us a little thing, make sure you say a little sorry, Ken. to let us know you really out here listening, because we be saying that a lot, especially these last couple episodes.
Especially after I say the f- word. Sorry, Ken.
There it is. And so that's where we're at. That's where all of us are at. I also have another podcast called Stay or Leave. It's about Married at First Sight Australia, but we might be starting again to cover Married at First Sight UK, which is the best reality TV show out there. Married at First Sight Australia is, and UK's on pace with it. It's really good. So we're going to get into the mailbag after all of that. And it's time to chat with Michael about one of these submissions. I mentioned last week, we're going to the mailbag and going through all of the mailbags. So meaning the ones that I haven't been able to put on an article. I have a lot of unused mail from the mailbag. And I want to know, Michael, would you like to start from the oldest one again?
Let's pick one right in the middle. How about that?
Okay, let me see exactly in the middle.
Ooh.
And
he's got these numbered, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Oh, no, he has to count them, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
To find out which one's right in the middle.
Okay, here it is. Okay, well, here we go. Hello, Mike. I have a small story. I was playing with some friends. One in particular is a green mage that ramps really hard. By turn 7, he gets more than 12 lands with a themed landfall / land sacrifice deck. I'm a blue artificer, so our matches are interesting, but most times he gets so many lands with borderline infinites like Altar of Dementia and Sidisi Brood Tyrant and mills his deck out and gets all the lands back or just wins with Lab Maniac. It's incredibly boring to see him draw his whole deck because it's not guaranteed infinite, but 90% of the time he mills himself out. I side decked him with this Lion Sash and got rid of lands with good old Armageddon after getting some mana rocks and constructs aided by Akroma's Memorial. After this, he was finished and I tasted a sour victory. He was a little bit salty because I planned that scenario, but hey, he was getting away with almost infinite, so I planned that little punishment. Also, then talking with my pod, we kind of agreed that the green player always gets away with so many lands, so the other colors should have a way to get rid of them. Maybe no all lands, but at least some. Since then, I've seen that he doesn't try to pull the Altar of Dementia Sidisi BS with me. Did it ruin my friend's fun? I've already talked to him and know his answer, but I'd like you to judge me. Greetings. I'm picking another name. Okay.
Homer wasn't good enough for you, huh?
Well, I mean, the audience doesn't know about Homer if this is done. if Ken does it, you know, we won't have Homer.
The mysterious Homer.
What I'm seeing is like this green player ramps really hard. Has a Sultai mill deck that is, you know, going to sacrifice zombies to get more zombies, to mill themselves and get lands in the graveyard and then bring them all back or win with Lab Maniac. And so he finds that boring because most of the time it worked out, but it's not a clean infinite. And so they have, Mark's put in Lion Sash and used Armageddon and, you know, overrun them with the Mana Rocks and Constructs and such. So, What do you think about this? I want to hear what your take is.
Is Scooze now bolus material? Are you not allowed to Scooze people? Like,
no.
No, you're not? I can't believe it, Mike. Because you're a graveyard player too, aren't you? Okay, you hate the Scooze.
I respect the Scooze. I hate the Scooze, but I respect it. However, I will say absolutely not. Like, it's just... It's kind of silly.
The Scooze is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's silly to be. I mean, like, I don't know.
The Armageddon is the visceral one, right? It's the one you're like, ooh, we see an Armageddon now. Is that bad?
Well, that's the thing is like Armageddon, man. Okay. So let's talk about playgroups. And because this came up recently, but it is in your playgroups, you have experience with each other where you are going to play the same decks. You're going to play against the same decks regularly enough that you get to know it well enough. And you are going to be making changes based on what you've seen so that you can kind of meta against that deck. You want to be able to do the thing. And if you're constantly being headed up by this one thing or your game plan is disrupted by a thing that you see often enough, you'll want to do something to deal with that. So for instance, you know, if somebody's always got like a surprise artifact and they, you know, can counterspell or something to save it, well, then you're going to start running crows and grips, right? To make sure that they can't counterspell it. Or you're going to run your own counterspell to back up against that counterspell. You're going to play like, you know, Shadow the Hedgehog so that when you cast something with a treasure, then it's, you know, got split second or something. You know what I mean? So there are reasons to make deck changes for your play group. And part of that is that, you know, if these are the people you play with, you check in and see that, hey, is Armageddon on the table? Yes. Okay, well, good. Because I want to bring it in against this player. And it is surprising to see that Armageddon is brought in against the land deck that brings everything back from the graveyard.
Yeah, not sure how well that's going to work out for you, Chief.
Yeah. So
the Skooze, the Lion Sash, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. It's definitely a great way to go with it, and I think that it's correct, like, way to go. But for them to be, you know, upset about that, it's like, I want to hope that they walked away upset in the way that's like, I've been presented with a new challenge that, yes, kind of gut checked me, but now I get to walk away and think, okay, how do I come back from this? You know what I mean? Where it's like a fun, it's fun in the way that you're looking to self-improve, but in the moment it does feel like shit a little bit. Sorry, Ken. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've played graveyard decks where the graveyard hate comes out and I'm like, yeah. No, well, I can't do anything until this is gone, right? So yeah. It's either a matter of finding my own removal, which generally doesn't happen, or somewhat convincing somebody. Like, I had a Doughty Voidwalker show up the other day, and that card's annoying as f**k. Sorry, Ken.
Sorry, Ken.
But it was a Gix deck. The person was playing mono black weenies, just hitting people. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for it to be there, and it did shut me down. But it was something that I felt could be overcome, right? You know, it's something that could reasonably be dealt with. Lion Sash is the same way. You got to run them out of mana because they have to use mana to exile your stuff, or you could just destroy it. I mean, it's an artifact and a creature. It's insanely vulnerable. So there's counterplay here. I don't think you should ever really get mad over something that has counterplay, you know?
But so now we're talking about the counterplay stuff, and that's fair. I agree with you here. The trouble being, you know, Armageddon is on the table here, and the friends are on board with it because the green player gets away with so much. You know what I mean? And there have been discussions, like, I know that game, the Command Zone had Brian Kibler on to talk about playing green and playing against green. And what came up was, like, is Armageddon a good strategy to use against the land player, the green player? And the answer is like, well, they're the ones that are going to be able to rebuild the best. You know what I mean? So it's not if you're not prepared for it. And it sounds like Mark was. Mark had Mana Rocks and Constructs and an Akroma's Memorial and was able to end the game when it was just them two. Really made sure that he had the advantage there and took it. So, you know, it was the right move, and it was, you know, it was like he was a little salty, but, you know, because he planned the scenario this way. But hey, he was getting away with almost infinites, you know, a non-deterministic infinite combo that would often lead to a win. So I think that, like, as far as Armageddon is concerned, this is kind of the perfect way to play it, right? You're going to go in for the kill. You're going to, you know, play it in a way that is like you have a plan. So why, you know, it's a little salty to have something like tech played against you, but it's also kind of like you've been the big deck at the table. You've done the thing.
You have
many
to deal
times.
With it.
Yeah, you have a reputation now. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I would say this, though. If you're facing a lands deck that is going to attempt to mill themselves out or otherwise win with a lab man combo, Armageddon's not going to save you.
No.
They're doing that shit at instant speed, you know? They're going to assemble all of the pieces. They're going to get the... They're going to demonstrate the loop. And at that point, Armageddon is not going to help you. You know, it's sorcery speed. It even if you destroy it, they're going to bring their lands back anyway. Like,
I don't
it's
think
not
that this
the
is the
proper
way.
Place for it.
I completely agree. I don't think that this is the way to win against this deck, but it's definitely like a way to close out a game when it needs to be closed out. So like that's, you know, it's also a big surprise factor here was like, you know, the thing about green is like people just assume that green is safe from land destruction. You know, the green
ramp, everybody assumes that really.
Right. But like the green ramp is land ramp, you know, every other deck has to fear for Vandal Blast or like, you know, a board wipe, you know, if they've got dorks and stuff. Green kind of is just like, hey, if I'm ramping with lands, then I've got no problem with a, you know, a Vandal Blast. No, you know, have at it. You know what I mean? So like there is like a safety net that's been ripped away from the green player in a way that's kind of like a gut check that I think is fascinating. I think it's very useful and interesting and kind of reminds the player that like we're this play group. We play with each other a bunch. I found the right way to deal with you. Now go back to your drawing board and figure out how to deal with me. You know what I mean? It's counterplay. It's interesting. It's like a meta shift, you know?
And I think that green is particularly well poised to deal with it.
Uh-huh. Exactly. They build like, back up easy.
Not only that, they also have almost the best ways to protect their lands too.
Oh yeah.
They've got heroic intervention. They've got a variety of different ways to make their lands like indestructible or to bring them back even. It's just not Armageddon is a tool to stop like the blue player from counterspelling you before you decide to combo off or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's not designed to hamstring the landfall player.
Mm-mm. And not for not like, yes, there's a card that's literally like lands are indestructible. Like that's a
Terra Eternal.
Yeah, from Zendikar. But like, you know,
Equinox. Have you ever played Equinox? It's hilarious, man. You know what it is?
No.
It's an aura that enchants a land, and it's like enchanted land has tap, counter target spell if it would destroy a land you control.
Huh. Wow.
It is stupid funny.
That is very, very specific. But also fun to see the word Equinox.
You have the Dryad Arbor on the field, and someone plays a board wipe, and you're like,
All right. Well, that's pretty fun. That's silly. Love learning about cards like that.
But yeah, like
it's so funny to come from because like look, we've had an entire live episode where somebody's like, our friend plays Armageddon all the time and doesn't have a plan for it.
But he
and
plays like, it poorly.
Yeah, and we're like, that sucks. But he's also a weirdo that I'm intrigued by. And Mark is like, I play Armageddon to stop a loop because this guy's gonna end up doing a whole thing. And you're like, yeah,
you're
totally.
Like, no,
it's fine. Like I can't imagine.
We are not the same.
Totally. Yeah, I don't see this being like. The question is like, did I ruin my friend's fun? I already talked to him and know his answer, but I'd like you to judge me. I think that ultimately it depends on this person. Like, I can't speak to whether or not his fun was ruined, but I know that if I were playing a deck and somebody had the perfect silver bullet after I've gone on and on and done infinites and won with this deck several times, and it's the deck that I break out where I'm like, I need a win, like, I want this, then somebody pulls that out, I'll be like, man, that kind of sucks, but also, like, hold on.
I deserve it.
Now I get to, like, find a way to make sure that doesn't happen again. Maybe I have to guard myself from this now. You know, like, it's more the Lion Sash, like, the Skooze and Lion Sash kind of stuff that makes more sense, you know?
And it's not like Skooze is something that's egregious, right?
Like this guy's playing rest, like Lion Sash.
It's not even
rest in peace. Yeah.
This is
rest in peace would piss me off.
I took an aggressively fine way to deal with my opponent's graveyard strategy. Am I the asshole for winning? Sorry, Ken.
Whoopsie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like I can't fault you. I don't
want
if
to.
If you ruined your friend's fun, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to end the world.
No, you're maybe okay.
Deserve to have his fun ruined for a little bit. But you know what? If he doesn't learn from it, then it's his fault at this point. You didn't do anything that was obscene, you know?
Yeah.
Just be fine, man. What's the one that's like cards from graveyards can't enter or something? Was it Grafdigger's Cage? Is that
it? Yeah, Grafdigger's Cage is
that would
fair,
be disgusting.
I mean, put
that instead of Armageddon.
Like, now we're just helping this guy, like,
ruin this guy's day.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, that's the meta. That's the beauty of being in a playgroup. That is it. You find yourself playing against the same decks, and you want to make sure that your strategy pops off without the interruptions. And sometimes an opponent's entire deck is going to be the interruption because it combos off and wins. Right. So like you need to slow them down and that's part of it. It's just the same way that like, you know, I have this this Jeskai Legends with like a Goad sub theme deck with the Stranger Things in universe, like Bjorna and Sofina, like the detective and Lucas, the sharpshooter, the Chief Hopper and Lucas. And the whole deal is everything in the deck is going to be historic if it can be. Unless it's just really fucking good. Sorry, Ken, like professional facebreaker. And in this deck, it's a combat deck and it wants to send things to combat, but it also needs to get blockers out of the way. And so I put in Spider-Woman, Stunning Savior, who is a 1 and an Azorius 2/2, flying artifacts and creatures your opponents control, enter tapped. Hell yeah, blind obedience on a creature, legendary creature that can also slam for damage. Hell yeah.
I can't believe you'd play that, Mike. You're so the bolus.
I am Stax McGee. I have been thinking about building a Stax deck. I'm not even kidding.
You should build my Azure deck.
Which one?
make it impossible for people to realize if their permanents are phased in or not.
Oh, that one. Oh, God, the spatial. But every time I see that card on Scryfall or something, I'm just like, this
deck. How often are you seeing spatial binding on Scryfall?
I've been searching weird shit. Sorry, Ken.
That's like being on Netflix and be like, ooh, I really would like to watch Cheers again. Implying that you haven't just searched for it directly.
I haven't searched for it directly, but I have been looking up with phasing and stuff, and I think it's a great card. It's very interesting.
Equipoise.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I'm gonna convince you. You're gonna have the Xur deck.
I don't think I want the Xur deck because now every time I think of Xur, I think about the one from Dominaria United that was in the Pro Tour last year that I found earlier this year that I found really interesting. The one that gives enchantment creatures you control, death touch, lifelink, and hexproof.
Yeah, put that on a Pestilence.
Get out of here. That's so sick.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Make sure you give your commander indestructible.
That's true.
That's pretty sick, honestly. Brutal, but sick.
We got a verdict for this guy.
Oh, not the bolus. I'm not even gonna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I
like,
even
we
just
need to find one where the guy is a bolus.
Well, we've got plenty to choose from, I'm sure. But they're just not coming up. Not this episode. Hopefully next episode, maybe I'll read for one that's going to be the bolus. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about Lorwyn Eclipsed. We talked a little bit last week of the Secret Lair stuff. We didn't really talk about the God of War cards so much or like the Horizon Uncharted cards. There's a lot of really cool cards, those interesting legends. But I will say that I am the most interested in what's going on Lorwyn right now. So many cool designs. And I do want to talk about my favorite design so far because it's a commander that I've kind of been asking for a very long time. Erdu, Carrier of Dawn, is a 3WW elemental god with flying and lifelink, 5/5, and says creature spells you cast have convoke. And at the beginning of your first main phase, you may pay black. If you do, transform Erdu. And then he becomes Issylou, Carrier of Twilight, still an elemental god, 5/5 flying lifelink that says each other non-token creature you control has persist. And at the beginning of your first main phase, you may pay white if you do transform Isilu. I have been dying for a card that gives you board wide persist. I love
no Mikaeus for you.
I love Mikaeus, but sometimes you just want to play persist over undying because, you know, your strategies will involve plus one counters, or you want your humans to stick around and get the undying, but you can't because Mikaeus says non-humans have plus one and undying. This one doesn't care, just needs it to be a non-token creature you control, and it has persist, which means when it dies, if it had no minus one counters on it, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with a minus one counter. When partnered, not partnered, but when paired with Mikaeus on the battlefield, that just means your stuff can die and come back indefinitely as long as they're not human. And if you have something that gives a creature plus one as it enters, it just negates the persist thing. And as somebody who loves things going in and out of the graveyard nonstop, this is the deck. This is a combo commander that I've wanted for forever. I know that it's going to be a real pain in the ass to keep around. I know that people are going to hate it and some people are going to love it. But I got to tell you, this is exactly where I want to be. I live.
See, it's people like you that push Mark to include heinous cards. Heinous cards like Lion Sash in their decks.
Or Rest in Peace.
Which or Rest in Peace.
I would hate to see, but I would understand.
Mike, this deck deserves an Armageddon against you.
Sure, because then I can convoke with my creatures.
That might actually be the play. You should play the Armageddon.
Yeah, Phyrexian Altar.
You've got the four creatures out already. Just just go ahead and Armageddon, and you're the only one that's able to cast creatures. Yeah, I'm kind of on board now.
Hey,
I was like, this is just an infinite machine, and then it is. You forced me to think about something stupid. I was like, oh.
Well, Armageddon is in the deck now. I've just put it in.
Oh, no.
We'll see if it sticks. It's just kind of a fun... It's an excuse to run an Armageddon, which is interesting.
Armageddon, which is $20 for no reason.
Yeah, it's getting reprinted in a secret lair drop. Kieran Yainer is putting up a secret lair of their own.
We got so much stuff in the 16 cards that we are allowed to see.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Bitter Blossom...
A Blitterbloom Bearer is a black
in one creature.
Flash flying fairy rogue. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose one life and create a 1/1 blue and black fairy creature token with flying. So that's interesting. That's
probably using that token across a bunch of stuff, right?
It has to be the fairy token. Yeah. But also get your Dire Undercurrents now, gang. Like that card is bananas. Love Dire Undercurrents. Love Bitterbloom Bearer already.
Ashling is okay.
Do you want to talk about either of the other two legends, or do you want to talk about the mythic hybrid cards at all?
Well, we've got plenty of things here.
Tell me what Ashling you want to talk
okay.
about.
Okay. It's just various. When it enters, you discard to draw, and then it transforms into something that gives you 2 mana, but you can spend it only on stuff that costs 4 or more. It's fine. What's the other commander we've got here? We've got Stig.
Wanderwine Wisdom.
We've got a 2/2 that when it enters, it gives a creature a coastal piracy effect. So if it connects, you draw a card.
So both Sig and Ashling trigger when it enters or transforms.
Right.
So, you know, flips and flops.
And then the other side gives a creature protection from each color until your next turn.
Right.
Which means that basically renders it unblockable unless they've got an Eldrazi or an artifact creature on the field.
Right.
So that should get you through, you know?
And you just keep can't be blocked either way. Both sides of Sig get through unblocked anyway. This is going to be a problem in Limited, I think, but oh boy. Weird commander for sure. Don't know what to do with it, but I like the design so far.
Wonder how many times you can transform it.
Well,
it's got to be the way you could do it, right?
It
only transforms naturally in the main phase. There's got to be other ways to make it transform, right?
I don't know.
You could put something under put something with a transform effect underneath a Soul Cauldron. That could do it.
Yeah.
The annoying thing is you have to actually, this is in the rules, believe it or not.
What?
But if you attempt to transform something,
mm-hmm.
if that's on the stack and you put another thing that transforms it on the stack, one of them just doesn't work.
Oh.
Transforms only work if they haven't transformed since it was put on the stack. Huh. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
That's a strange one. I don't know that, like, I can find anything that transforms target thing. The only thing I can think of is, like, that werewolf spell.
Yeah, the moon mist or whatever.
Yeah, but even then, like, that's
it's not wolf.
I think that it's, like, the... There was that commander from Lost Caverns that was, like, a bonus sheet commander that cares about double-faced cards.
Artifacts, but I think it was just artifacts.
Yeah, Tetsin. Yeah.
Because all of the, has all of the Ixalan flip artifacts that made sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, because of the, crafting. But I'll say there's nothing that really kind of does what we're talking about right now. Like, it just is werewolves and that's it. And I wish there was, because it would make things a little bit more interesting. But I'm also kind of happy with this guardrail here. It is just interesting that if you have something that turns something face down, it doesn't flip the creature. Like, it just can't.
I'm gonna predict that if there's gonna be a card that transforms target permanent, it's gonna be in this set.
Okay, interesting.
I think that they're probably gonna put it on some mythic. Let's say 3-cost mythic legendary creature at maybe 4 mana with some activated ability that's like transform target permanent.
We see Ixidor again.
Maybe.
It's probably the
I like
Reaper
Morning
King.
Tide's Light.
Morning Tide's Light, tell me more. I'll read it out. Morning Tide's Light is a 3 and a white sorcery that says exile any number of target creatures. At the beginning of your next end step, return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. Until your next turn, prevent all damage that would be dealt to you. Exile Morning Tide's Light. Go ahead.
So there's many ways you can use this.
Okay.
Get everybody through. You know, you can exile everyone's blockers. Mm-hmm. They're gone for a turn.
And if the tokens are just gone.
Yeah. You can use it to protect yourself since all damage that would be dealt to you is prevented, right?
Right, but not life and loss, which to me, an aristocrats player means, F you, I don't care. Sorry, Ken.
And then you could blink stuff. Like, you could blink your own things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderfully fine card. I like this in conjunction with the Mistcaller or with the Containment Priest.
Oh.
If you really want to be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
Or Eldrazi Processors if you're a weirdo like me.
Wow.
Just shunt all that stuff back into the graveyard where it can't come back.
That's great. That's so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Containment.
Like, this is a rune all star.
Yeah, that's a messed up use for it. That's for sure. Damn, dude. Ooh.
What do you think about the Mutavault token creature?
Gotta be honest. I don't quite see it. I think that it's interesting because, like, It's a rare 1/1 changeling that when it enters, create a tapped Mutavault token. Luckily, it's not a Titan effect. Like, it's not enters and attacks. It makes a tapped Mutavault token, but it gives you 2 creatures, I guess, if you tap the mute, like, you can tap the Mutavault token to make itself a 1, like a 2/2 creature with changeling. And so basically you're upping your creature count by 2 if you've got a Typal situation going, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not really quite pulled by this. I think it's a cute card. I think it's like we're probably going to see a lot more Typal synergy because it's Lorwyn. But I'm not quite as impressed with this one as as people seem to be.
I do like the Formidable Speaker though. When it enters, you basically turn any of your cards into a creature tutor.
Yeah, it's an ETB Survival of the Fittest. Trigger, and then you can pay 1 tap, untap another target permanent, and like, yeah, you're not mana positive if you're untapping a land, but you can fix your colors, or if you've got guess what, surprise blocker, you know what I mean? Or hey, if you've got a Nykthos, guess what that's tapping for next, you know? Or
yeah,
coffers or anything. So that's great. You know me, I don't really mess with tutors too much. I don't really like them personally, but it is an interesting card. It's definitely going to be competitive. It's Jean-Emmanuel Depra's card for winning the world championship. He won with Esper Legends, which is why I think it's so funny that his card is just a green elf druid. And I mean, I have to assume he had some say in what he designed and whatnot, but like,
I mean, he's rocking that outfit.
For sure. It's a very beautiful card. It's like such a cool design and he's such a great player. I think it's so funny to me that like you win with Esper Legends and the card you design is the furthest thing from an Esper Legend. And honestly, who cares? It rips, but it's a funny little detail to me.
Well, I'll leave the elemental incarnations to you, Mike.
Okay, I do want to talk about Christmas. These.
Call it my Christmas present.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. So there seems to be a mythic cycle. I don't know if it's going to be 10. I have to assume it's going to be 5.
What if it's just these two?
I don't want that. I would be so disappointed. They're named after like, you know, so it's Deceit and Emptiness. They're both templated as like 4 with hybrid mana symbol. The creature elemental incarnation, and then I'll read Emptiness because that's the one I have in front of me here. Emptiness, also gorgeous art. It's so ominous and strange. Love it. Emptiness is 4 Orzhov, so hybrid Orzhov, so you can pay either white or black for either of those pips. Creature elemental incarnation. When this creature enters, if white was spent to cast it, return target creature card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. When this creature enters, if black was spent to cast it, put 3 -1/-1 counters on up to 1 target creature. And then it has evoke for hybrid Orzhov, and it's a 3/5. So you can cast this for, you know, white to return a creature card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. This enters and dies right away, you know, from the evoke cost. Or you can use it as a kill spell for black, you know, -1/-1 counters on target creature. Or if you cast it for its full cost of 4 hybrid Orzhov twice, you can spend white, black, and then whatever 2 other colors or, you know, colorless, and it will enter as a 3/5, give a target creature -3/-3, and return a 3 mana value or less creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. I mean, really cool design. It also means that, unfortunately, like, this won't bring something back if it's blinked, which is, you know, one of my favorite things to do, or reanimated rather as well. But it's just such a cool design space. And so Deceit is the Dimir one, so blue-black. And so it's the same thing, except it's a 5/5. When this creature enters, if blue-blue was spent to cast it, return up to 1 other target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So it unsummons a non-land permanent. And if black was spent to cast it, target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card. Honestly, these seem like really good for limited and constructed formats. Not really my favorite in terms of for EDH, but I'm intrigued by this design space.
I don't know. Emptiness is disgusting in Athreos.
Tell me more.
Well, you evoke it, you either get a 3 cost back, which someone ostensibly had to pay 3 life to stop you from
getting it
putting
back
that back in your hand anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
And then Emptiness dies, so that's another 3 life that someone's going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's removal that someone's going to have to pay 3 life on top of.
Right. I mean, look, that's pretty nasty for Athreos for sure. Well spotted. I think that this design space is so freaking cool. I love the art on this. They're all so messed up and weird so far. And just like the idea of using the hybrid mana, I live. It's so fun to see creature designs like this. Not to mention evoke means that if you have an onboard sac outlet, or, you know, you have some sort of trick to blink it, and then you know, you got a 5/5 or a 3/5 for 2 mana and a blink. You know what I mean? It's pretty sick. It's pretty sick. And I really think that these are really cool cards, and I'm looking forward to finding out what the others are gonna be. I do definitely hope we get 10 of them, but by the looks of things,
I mean, it looks like it's gonna be 10, right? Because
no, I disagree.
They have blue black and they have white black. That's an enemy color pair and an ally color pair.
Agreed, but it also means. But here's the thing. We have the shock lands being reprinted in this set. So Blood Crypt, Hallowed Fountain, Overgrown Tomb, Steam Vents, and Temple Garden. And while Overgrown Tomb and Steam Vents are Izzet and Golgari, which are enemy colored pairs, Blood Crypt, Hallowed Fountain, and Temple Garden, Selesnya, Azorius, and Rakdos are allied pairs. So the opposite of these would be the ones that I think we're getting. So I think Deceit and emptiness showing Orzhov and Dimir means that we're probably going to get Gruul. We're probably going to get, help me out here.
I'm trying.
Simic. Gruul, Simic, and the last one would be Red Boros. So I think we're going to get Gruul, Simic, and Boros mythics, which bit of a bummer if you ask me, because I really like this design space, and I don't see us coming back to
lore. You don't want to get it wasted
soon.
On Gruul?
Yeah, I guess. What if the Gruul one's really fucking sick? Sorry, Ken.
It's going to be like Evoke, red, you deal 3 damage to a player. Green, it's like another target creature you control fights a thing, or maybe a buff, you know?
Yeah, probably. It's like, it's going to be lightning strike, because it's 2 mana for 3 damage to any target, and then, I don't know, Titanic Growth for +4/+4.
It's going to be, you know what the Simic one's going to be? Say it with me now. Explore. You pay blue, you draw a card, you play green, you put a land from your hand onto the battlefield.
Yeah, that's probably going to be it, except I think that they're both going to do both of them. I think it's going to be pay blue, draw a card and put a land into play, play green, draw a card, put a land into play. So if you pay the full cost, it's draw 2 cards, put 2 lands into play. I don't know.
And you get like a 2/2 on top of it. I don't know. It reminds me of those battle mages. You remember Plane Shift's battle mages?
Love that cycle. There's a lot of this is the thing about throwing back to Lorwyn, is that they're really reaching into their pockets to find some really fresh designs on things that are reminiscent of that space and like a time wherein, you know, man, Plane Chase was so cool. Apocalypse, Plane Shift, not Plane Chase, Plane Shift. You know,
Chase is lame and stupid.
No,
Mike,
I like
Karatsa,
Plane Chase.
2025.
I like Plane Chase, but you know, Lorwyn was, you know, it was, let's see, when was Lorwyn? 2009, I want to say.
Oh my God, I'm ancient.
That can't be right. No, that feels wrong.
Set Lorwyn, 2007, Mike.
2007. And like Apocalypse and such was like 2000. Right? It was like 2001. 2000 was Invasion. 2001 was Plane Shift and Apocalypse. If I'm remembering correctly.
That is correct.
Because I was 10 and I lived for those sets. That was a really big time in my childhood. Anyway. Some really cool designs that I'm really looking forward to Lorwyn Eclipsed. Have I already pre-ordered some stuff? I mean, in so much as I told the LGS that I would need them to put some stuff aside for me, because I'm going to order a bunch of it, and I
menacingly,
can't
you're brandishing a knife, and you're like, see,
I'm
you
telling
gotta
them,
put some of those Lorwyn boxes aside, the collector boosters too.
No, I'm just telling them that I am buying them. I'm ready. I'm in. I need a blood crypt that flips.
You've got a knife in one hand and your wallet in the other.
Yeah.
And you're like, one of these am I going to give you?
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. I mean, I'm going to need an Erdu and Isalu. Honestly, I need that blood crypt that flips. The Shocklands have like full art versions that flip from you know, Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. And then, you know, emptiness looks so sick in its extended version. The cards so far have me more excited about a set than I've been in quite some time, and I think that that's cool. I mean,
because
obviously,
it's not Spider-Man schlock.
The thing about Spider-Man stuff is like some of the stuff is really fun and well designed. I just can't watch any of it online because Arena is not giving us the Spider-Man of it all, and you know, I just, man. If Final Fantasy, I didn't care about until I saw the cards. Dragonstorm, I was stoked about, but you know, it didn't hit. It kind of hit like mid for me. I was stoked, but I was like, this is all right. I'm happy with it. Aetherdrift was a letdown. You know, Foundations was a nice surprise. I love Duskmourn.
I've yet to meet anybody who likes Aetherdrift.
There's some cool stuff in it, but it's a bummer, man. It is a bit of a bummer. Some of the stuff is like cool as hell, but you're like, why'd they reprint Bloodghast here? You know, why'd they make it look like that too?
That's true.
Not to mention, like, look, Speed Demon's cool as hell, but like, I don't know. I'm trying to make it work. I took it upon myself when everybody was talking mad sorry, Ken, about Aether Drift. I went through the legends and I thought, you know what?
Completely justified mad.
Sorry, Ken. I looked at the legends and I thought, what if I brewed Samet the Driving Force as a Planeswalker commander? And so that's what I'm working on right now, is like a little thought experiment. You know, Samet the Driving Force is a 6-mana, 4/5, first strike, vigilance, haste, start your engines. Other creatures you control get +1/+X/+0, where X is your speed. Non-creature spells you cast cost X less to cast, where X is your speed. And so the idea is like, hey, you play Samet, you get, you know, hopefully you've already started your engines. And you could start playing a bunch of Planeswalkers at a discount, and not amazing, but it's been fun to goldfish.
Yeah. Not everything has to be the Simic or Sultai deck that mills their entire graveyard out and then wins with Lab Man.
Aether Drift did give us one of the best blink targets in Azorius, which is Riptide Gear Hulk. You know, double strike.
That's true.
Yeah, like Riptide Gearhulk is when this creature enters, for each opponent, put up to one target non-land permanent that player controls into its owner's library, third from the top. That's a brutal card. That is a messed up Magic the Gathering card. Anyway.
It also has double strike and prowess for no reason.
For no reason, except to be good. Yeah. Well, we did the plugs off the top. We gave our sponsors a shout off the top. I think, thanks, Mark, for writing in. Homer, if you're listening, make sure you let us know if we could use that story sometime. Send us your stories at mithebolus@gmail.com. And know that if you want stuff anonymized, please tell us immediately. Make sure to include that at the top of the email. And so, yeah, give us a nice little rating on iTunes and all that good stuff. Tell people you like the podcast. Help us out. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Comment something nice. Thanks for listening. It really means a lot. We'll be back next week with some more Am I the Ballcast? Michael Solani, do you have any parting words for our listeners?
Nope.
Bye.